In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This will be the second in this series that we're starting, which is called Preaching in Adversity. The goal of the preaching in adversity, see, is to strengthen the faith and encourage the faithful. Not just to preserve their faith, but to spread it. And so the goal of these lectures, these short talks, is to strengthen the faith and the love of God's people so that they can see clearly and calmly what's going on and react with love and with care. But first, for themselves and their families, not to be unduly shaken, but to know that we are in a time of darkness. Now, in order to do that, the first step, as I hinted in our first talk, and I want to develop now, is to understand, well, what is the adversity? What is going on? Basically, we're living in a world with no reference to God. In fact, you know, God is dismissed as a concept of man in his infancy. But now that we can control the universe, we don't need to think of God, you know. There was a great German philosopher, Wilhelm Dilthey, and he said, you know, what we can do with science is explain the cosmic phenomena, control them, and win power from them. What we can't do is understand them. And that's the famous distinction, erklären und verstehen, to explain and to understand. Now, the role of our preaching to our people, you see, therefore, is to strengthen them in their minds. And that, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit using us to clarify their minds. In order to do that, you have to reflect on your condition. You have to get out of where you are and look back at it and see it and give it edges so it's not the whole of your conscious horizon. And in order to do that, you have to have some sense of how we got where we are and what is wrong with that. Now, one of the finest books for that is this book by Henri de Lubac. D-E-L-U-B-A-C. It's called The Drama of Atheist Humanism. In other words, what I just described is atheist humanism. We take care of ourselves in this world, and we help others, and that's very noble, and that's what atheist humanism is about. There is no God. We can't wait for God to do this. We have to do it. Another great book in the same line, there's several here I want to point out to you. You're not going to be able to read them all, obviously, because, you know, you're very busy. But I'm hoping that these talks can help orient you and maybe give you a desire to read one of them. Another one is this book by Louis Dupré, D-U-P-R-E, and it's called Passage to Modernity. How did we get from where we were to where we are? It's mostly an analysis of knowledge. How do we know, and how do we know that we know? And where are we in that trajectory, in a rather confused place? And then another book, as I say, I know you're not going to have time to read them all, but maybe you've got one on your library shelf already, or one would appeal to you more than another. This one is by Joseph Ratzinger, and it's called Truth and Tolerance, subtitle, Christian Belief and World Religions. So it's not so much about atheism as about all the other world religions, Confucianism, Buddhism, all that sort of stuff. And it's beautifully done and can help you. You see, we have to have this sense. We have to have a reflexive awareness where our own mind is being pulled so that we understand where our people's mind is being pulled. And we can articulate it for them because they often don't have time or even perhaps the training to stop and say, where is my mind? And correct the course, you see? So there's these books that I've just talked about, The Trajectory of the Western Mind, of Lubach, Dupré, and Ratzinger. Then there's two interesting books that I just throw out. Now, one of these is enormous. In fact, they both are. There's a book called They Fired the First Shot, written by, he calls himself just, I don't know who it is, a friend of Medjugorje. But it does point out the unerring truth of the ongoing education that Our Lady is still giving at Medjugorje, especially to those early seers who are around her. And that's called, as I say, they fired the first shot. And then there's another book just out, and this is enormous. I'm not just trying to discourage you, but I'm just letting you know it's big. It's called The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States. He analyzes all the laws and institutions of the United States and points out that they are all based on a Christian biblical understanding of reality. And some of them don't make any sense without it. Now, we need to know that to be sure of ourselves. You can't go out and shove that down somebody's throat, but you have to know where you stand and where he's making a good point and where he's not. What we also want to do is strengthen the minds of our faithful. You know, we don't do a good job in our education. And therefore, people are not helped to reflect on what they think and why they think it. But they have to be able to do that in order to strengthen their own faith, the faith of their family, and to preach the gospel. Because in this world, when there is no God, people are happy in one sense because they think that they can indulge more in their drives. But they're also frightened to death. Death becomes this opaque black wall, and who knows what's on the other side. And so forth, they often entertain a vague idea of God as a very nice guy, and somehow I'm going to make it, until they're actually dying. And if you're a priest, you know what I mean. The fear, even though they're doped up and all the rest, the fear, they have no idea what's on the other side of death. Even though they've been practicing Catholics their whole life long. The problem has been, in the last few centuries, we have not taught our people how to take care of their minds. And if there is an important dimension to our pastoral activity now, it's to teach people how to take care of their minds so that they can be clear and strong and calm as they instruct their youth, their children, who are being buffeted by this all day long. I think I may have said this story. I don't remember now. This is my second talk. I did another one. And one of my nephews and I were walking through the woods out in Wisconsin. At the time, he was in Montessori school, so he was however old they are, 5, 6, whatever. And he said, you know, my Montessori teacher told us that there is no God. I said, well, she's wrong, Jimmy. He said, how do you know? I said, I was just talking to him this morning. I couldn't tell a child. Now, here are the 5 proofs from Aquinas, you see. But I had to be able to mediate. I know there's a God. I talk to him. He talks to me. I know him. And I can expand that in a way that strengthens my reason. And these books that I've just mentioned can help that, help you and help them. The problem is, in order to preach in adversity, we need a change of lifestyle. We have to reduce to zero, if we can, or to minimum at least, of our TV time. We just can't do it. We have an obligation. One of our ministries is to study so that we can make sense to our people who don't have even the time we have. By the time they get in the car and drive downtown and work at a lousy job, drive home, face the family, eat supper, watch the news, they're ready to go to bed. How can we help them? You see? And so that's what I mean, right? We have to take care of our minds. So I'm offering these books as suggestions. You may find better ones. I don't think you're going to find anything better than Dulubac, though. I really don't. Okay. Now, after that's step one of these principles, you see? Step two, understand Jesus' confrontation with adversity, which he met with all the time. First, he never capitulated. That's very important. Second, he never insulted. That's very important. And something that he has and we can never have in its fullness, he was always sure of himself because his mind was the mind of the Word of God. You know, his human mind was suffused with divine light. So is ours. But not like that. But it's nice to see. So if we look at those things that Jesus had, we first see courage. He never compromised the truth. Second was clarity. He was clear. And he made claims, the Father and I are one, even though he knew that that would risk his life. In other words, the truth is so important. He's going to finally say, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. But in his human mind, you see, St. Thomas points out, for instance, you remember the centurion who came up and said, you know, you don't have to come to my house, just where you are, just you've got power. I know what that is. I'm a military man. Just command that it'll go, the sickness. And the text says, Jesus was surprised. So there's a part of him that was growing in knowledge. Surprise always means what? You see an effect and wonder at the cause. That's what a surprise is. Isn't that beautiful? It was Aquinas who said, when I wrote the commentary on the sentences, which was his first major work, huge thing, I said that he didn't have an active intellect, but I know better now. Looking at that text, I realized you can't be surprised unless you see an effect and wonder at the cause. And so he did, you see. So there's courage, clarity, concern for the adversary. We are not out to crush anybody, but to win them over. They're called to the beatific vision. And we have to find a way to win them. That means love, patience, humor, you know, maybe splitting a glass of beer. I mean, you know, well, we have to care for them. And then finally, and this is very important, discernment of spirits. Because our war, as Paul tells us very frequently, is not against flesh and blood. It's against Satan. It's against the fallen angels with their angelic minds, still very great intellects, who hate God and hate us, and have stirred up this mess we're in, where people's lives are ruined, children's lives are ruined, you see? So we need to discern what's going on here and be ready to see Satan at work where he is. You don't have to see a devil behind every bush, but you've got to be able to see what's going on and how to handle it, okay? And finally, we must pray and take spiritual care of our people. Help them with their minds. Help them so that we can clarify, you know, with all this HHS mandate here in this country, what's wrong with it? Very clearly say what's wrong with that, you know? Not angrily, not stirring anybody up, but making them firm and strengthening them. All right, we're going to stop with that. And then in the next talk, we're going to start looking at some of this root of the apostasy.